Welcome to the RC New Podcast. This is episode 20, and we've got a really awesome show lined up. We always have an awesome show lined up, so, you know, what am I saying? Josh had to travel this week, so he was not able to join in on the excitement and the fun. But I do have a return guest. Mr. Tim Smith was kind enough to join me, and he brought a few friends. He brought his friends Mikey and Mark, and you may have seen one or both of these guys on some of Tim's videos from the crawling stuff or the speedrun expeditions that he's been taking part in. So we had a fun chat, very fun chat. We talked about a few recent topics. Axial Fest, Tim went there this past year, so he shared his experiences and pretty much gave a really nice sales pitch on why anybody in the hobby needs to go to Axial Fest, and just what to expect when you get there. We also talked about the Yeti, the Axial Yeti, that's been making news. It has been making news. It is news in the RC world, at least from the crawler, not really the crawler side, but the scaler end of things. I'm really not even sure how to classify it. It's a little bit of everything, at least in my mind. It seems to be a little bit of everything. It's a rock racer. It's a crawler. It's a scaler. It's a conglomeration of things. But we talked about the Yeti. Tim has one. Lucky guy. And he gave his thoughts on it. Mikey and Mark gave their thoughts on it. I just listened because I don't have one yet. Let's see, what else did we chat about? We chatted about a whole bunch of things. You know, any show that we get Tim Smith on, it's always entertaining. There's always some stories to tell and listen to. So definitely check that out. Oh, and Tim has a contest. I'm not going to give away what it is. Giveaway. I'm not going to give away what the contest entails. You'll have to listen for that information. So before we get to that conversation, I have a few house cleaning items to talk about. If you've subscribed to our RSS feed for the blog, you may have noticed recently that things have kind of gone nuts. Hopefully in a good way. I've added a section to the website that focuses on... I'm out and about right now, walking. So, Andrew, you won't hear me getting after the throttle at all during this, but I've added a new section to the website focusing on eBay auctions, on forum posts where people are trying to unload their RC gear. You know, if you're looking for a deal, if you're looking to get into maybe a different vehicle or a different genre of the hobby, a different area of the hobby, but you don't necessarily want to go all in on a new rig, check these out. These are some decent deals from what I've been finding. But those are all going into the main feed. So if you subscribe to the blog through RSS, you're going to find, you know, we've upped our output of content a little bit. And a lot of these have been the RC Garage postings. So if you have thoughts one way or the other, good, bad, or indifferent, you know, do you like these RC Garage posts being included in the main feed? Should we take them out? Should we split them off into their own entity? I'm open to feedback on that. It's a work in progress, and I'm definitely open to suggestions for how to handle that. I've been playing around with a couple different t-shirt ideas, t-shirt designs. I've had gotten some really awesome feedback on Google Plus and on Facebook and on Twitter for a design. I created a quote-unquote throwback RC New logo. And put that on a shirt. I've got a couple other shirt design ideas that I'm working on. So That shirt itself is for sale. So if you want to support the website, support the podcast, you know, show your love for the hobby, show some appreciation to RC Noob, that is greatly appreciated. If you'd consider purchasing a shirt, those are available on the RC Noob store. You can find that at rcnoob.com. I've got a few other, like I said, some ideas for new designs, future designs, and also have some ideas for other t-shirt opportunities. I'm not quite sure how to phrase it yet, but looking at possibly doing a Teespring thing for a couple one-off designs, but we'll tackle that when we get there. On the hobby side, I really haven't done, I haven't done a lot this summer with the hobby. It's been a lot busier than I had anticipated. Did some camping, brought the Smash with us. Between my wife and our three kids and all the stuff that we have to bring with us to go camping, there really isn't much room for a 1/10 scale rig, let alone two of them. So I brought the ECX Smash with us a few weeks, you know, it's been like a month ago, when we went camping, and I had to push, pull, and drag my oldest son outside. He wanted to stay inside and play Legos or play something, and like we're out. Let's just get outdoors, you know, just get your rear end outside, and hey, I brought the Smash, and I had to convince him that it was fun to drive after I had been playing around with it for about 10 minutes, and I didn't want to run the battery down before he got a chance to rip around with it. But he had a good time. He climbed a few hills with it, and we whipped donuts around and hit some jumps and stuff, and it was fun. It's just, you know, for that's just my fun little throw in a bag, bring with you, you know, haul it out whenever the opportunity presents itself. That's our little fun buggy. Which, speaking of that, to kind of do a little quick self-promotion here, and then I'll get on with the real show. I had written a post a month or so ago, about, you know, what's your favorite low cost, low dollar, let's just call it cheap, basher machine. You know, the vehicle that you just bring with you to the park or to a family get together, or, you know, not necessarily to show off, but just to haul out and have a good time. You know, what are your favorite vehicles for doing that? And they don't have to be expensive either. I think that's the beauty of some of the off-brand or non-mainstream brand RC vehicles, is that, you know, they're priced at a attractive enough level that you can get into it, and if you bust it up, you don't feel too bad. And you might be surprised. Some of these can actually take a pretty decent lick, take a pretty decent beating. So, you know, I'm interested in hearing from you, you know, the audience, what are your favorites? You know, what are your favorite off-brand, low-budget, cheap, you know, discount, money-saving bashing machines? You know, hit me. Let's hear what you have. So, with that, I guess the only other piece of RC news I have is I gave my Jeep body a coat of paint on the front end. I painted the grill area matte black, flat black. So just did that this week. Got it all masked off, taped it up, sprayed it, and it looks good. It looks better than I thought. I was a little concerned about my masking ability, and what kind of job it would actually present itself with afterwards, but it did a decent job. Had a little bit of overspray on one corner, had a few rough edges. I think I've got those cleaned up, and I'm actually going to run a strip. Right now I've got a strip of 1/8 inch pinstriping decal or tape that's gloss black that I'm running between the painted portion and the stock body. And that doesn't look too bad either, to be honest. I'm looking at getting possibly a 1/16 thickness, you know, something that's just a little bit thinner, to run that across there instead. But for now, I think I'll just stick with the 1/8. That's what I've got. Tonight, I'm going to throw a little heat on it. I've got a few bumps and air bubbles to take out of the tape. So my goal tonight is to get the tape fixed up, get the decals put back on, get the headlight decals back on, the grill decals, and I should be ready to go. So that was a fun little side project for me. I just wanted to do something to make the Jeep my own a little bit more. And I had mentioned the throwback RC Noob logo that I had done up. I have a few decals coming my way that are should be perfectly sized and should look really nice on a lighter colored vehicle, hint hint. And we may be giving a few of those away, so definitely, you know, stay tuned for that. So, without further ado, let's get to the conversation between myself, Tim Smith, and his good friends Mikey and Mark. And this is the RC Noob Podcast.
See, you guys all met. Well, let's do introductions here. So, you guys met out on a crawling trail, more or less, right? So Tim, we know your story already. Mikey, why don't you introduce yourself and let everybody know a little bit more about who you are and what you do and why you love the hobby.
Well, been in the hobby since I was 12 years old, so now we're talking 15 years. Started out racing with T-Maxes back in the day. So T-Maxes, graduated into Nitro A scale, raced that for probably 4 years. Fell out of the racing world, just wasn't into it anymore at the age I was at. Then my buddy Mark, that's actually here with us, got me back into scale trailing, and it's been downhill ever since, with running trails almost every weekend, and from that graduated into U4RC racing, and that's where I'm at right now, and just can't stop. It's an inevitable adventure.
So what kind of rigs do you run right now?
Right now I have a Axial Wraith that's fully built, basically. I got people sending me some parts right now from BGR Fabrications, who's going to be helping me out as basically a sponsor. And then I have my SCX that's fully vanquished out. The Bronco, you can see off of all the videos that we post with Tim, it's the orange 73 Bronco that's the only one.
Okay.
So... okay. That's pretty much my background in RC.
Okay, cool. Very cool. And Mark, what's your story?
Well, I got my first car when I was about 9 years old. It was RC-10. And then I just kind of been with it ever since. When I got into high school, I started working at Hobby People over in town here. And I worked there for about 4 years.
Do you guys have Hobby People back there, Tim?
I don't think so.
No.
No, it's basically like a discount hobby shop is what it was.
Yeah, out here it's a huge string of hobby stores. I mean, it's probably one of the 90% of the hobby stores that we have out here are called Hobby People.
And they, really? Okay.
Yeah, they're just kind of a generic, you know, hobby shop in that way. It's mostly all RC. They have some, you know, rocket stuff, but airplanes and cars and a little bit of boat, you know, that's it. So they kind of have a light sprinkling of parts and, you know, that kind of thing. There are, you know, local really cool hobby shops, but yeah, Hobby People's a pretty big thing out here. So if you're somewhere else, that's what it is.
Cool.
I worked there for a little while, and then I fell out of the whole the hobby altogether. So I just got too busy doing other things and whatnot, and then I just got back into it a few years ago, back when scaling and stuff like that started to get a little more popular and whatnot. And so now I have an Axial SCX that I run, and a Wraith also that I have. And I just love it. It's just awesome. It's just cool to go out there and hang out, meet people, hike, you know, just enjoy being outside.
Yeah, that's what I found too. I don't know if you guys have listened to the show before or not. My background story really isn't that interesting. Yeah, I guess I got my first RC vehicle when I was a kid, eight or 10 years old or whatever, but it was, you know, a little cheapo plastic thing.
Yeah.
And kind of got a couple more of those as I went through childhood. Always wanted to get a quote unquote real RC car though, and never really scraped together the funds to do it until I became an adult with, you know, responsibilities and whatnot. About 2 years ago, I got into it. I bought a Traxxas Slash, thought it was the greatest thing in the world, ended up not really using it. And then I picked up a Red Cat Racing RS10 and really fell in love with the crawler side and sold the Slash and picked up an SCX10 at the beginning of this year. And I'm all into the scaler crawler scene.
Nice.
Yeah, and it suits me better. I like going fast and I like, you know, doing crazy stunts and whatnot, but I like the detail. I like the realism that you get from scalers and crawlers and things like that. So that's cool. That's very cool. And you guys all met out on the trail, more or less.
Yeah. We all kind of showed up there. It was kind of our first time for all. I mean, for sure, our first time on this trail. I don't know. Have you guys been out trailing before that?
Yeah, me and Mark actually played pretty close to the area, and then we started playing around on the RC Crawler forum and found a group of people and ended up finding out that we show up on the same day as Tim and just hit it off, and we were kind of just out on our own, just trailing. Ever since, it's been nonstop.
Nice. So, okay, I've got a question along that same line. You guys use RC Crawler to more or less find other folks to hang out with and have fun in the hobby with.
The website, you mean?
Yeah. So, what?
I think I've admitted this many times. I'm really not a fan of forums.
Yeah, we don't really go on it.
I used
much.
To be.
Okay.
But I really fell out of favor with them. It seemed like some of the people that posted, maybe not the people that go there, but some of the people that posted, it felt like they really weren't the most helpful people in the world for a number of reasons. So yeah, forums fell out of favor, but you know, I'll bet we find more places and people to crawl or, you know, trail, run, whatever you want to call it. I don't like calling it a crawl because it's not really crawling. You know, you get on a trail and you're kind of going at it. But we find more just in Facebook. I mean, you guys know that.
Okay.
You know, you see people put up pictures of their rigs and the next thing you know, we've got a little semi-private group on there that if you message me, if you're out in this area, I'll add you to the group. We have a pretty semi-private group of guys that all of us get together. You know, us here and a couple guys from Axial and some things like that. And we get together at different locations all around, you know, Southern California. So, I mean, that's what we found. Our real groups of people has been on there, it seems. It's been a great resource for that.
Okay, cool. Cool. And the reason I'm asking, my oldest son he shows flashes of being interested in the hobby. And actually, he ended up with the RS10. Heavily modded and whatnot. So he's, when I can get him pried away from Minecraft or his Legos, then he shows interest in RC stuff.
That sounds about right.
And he wanted to, I was showing him some videos from Axial Fest from this year and last year, and kind of blurted out loud that, hey, I personally really want to get there for that event at some point in time.
Oh my gosh. We haven't talked about that, have we, since I went?
No, Tim, we have not talked about so much stuff. There's the Yeti, you name it.
Man, you wanted a topic? We're gonna go crazy. That was, oh my gosh, that was incredible. But finish your question. I'm so sorry, but woohoo, here we go.
So he asked me, so are there events or, you know, events like Axial Fest for people that don't have Axial vehicles? Because he's sitting there with his little, you know, red cat. I said, well, yeah, we can just find people that live around here and, you know, go hang out with them. But what, I, you know, aside from Facebook and forums, you know, if I lurk more on forums than I post. I don't really think I've actually posted anything on a forum.
It's me.
But, you know, aside from those two avenues, do you guys think or do you know of any other good resources for finding not even clubs, just people locally to go hang out with and enjoy the hobby with?
Well, maybe perhaps your local hobby shop. You get people there that they're all there for the same reason.
You can even go there and just put up like a little, give them a little card, you know, like, hey, we're looking into crawling in this area and, you know, message me or whatever, email me if you know of any place. That's a really good idea. It seems like too, if you can find that one place around you, you know, where a few guys go, once you get a hold of one person in that group, it's like a vein, you know, you seem to travel to the next group to, you know, and they tell you about, oh, well, there's, you know, we go up to this place or out to this place on Sundays. And okay, so one Sunday you got there and then you meet a whole nother, set of folks off you go. Yeah. We did that this weekend. We went up to a place up in the mountains by us up near Big Bear. And, we ended up actually just kind of pulling off the road. We couldn't go where we wanted to go due to some landslides they had, but we pulled off the road and we ended up meeting, oh my gosh, how many people were there? Maybe
it was probably 50 rigs out there.
It was unbelievable, you know? So, I mean, I know it sounds like, yeah, just go drive around. That's not what I'm saying. But, you know, if you can find one connection out there, those seem to blossom pretty quickly because, you know, everyone's kind of on that same quest. I think that is maybe part of the fun and thrill of trail, you know, running to me is we've been doing that. I hadn't talked to these guys about it, but I was thinking this weekend we would actually just take a pen and, you know, mark a spot on a map that, you know, that we Googled and looked like it might have some rocks or whatever and head there and just go for it, you know, spend the day checking it out, seeing what we find, you know, that's kind of fun to do too. So it's all in kind of what you want to get out of it, I guess. We just like to get out and do our thing. Sometimes I have more fun, honestly, with just two or three guys than I do with 15 or 20 because it gets pretty packed up on the trail. And, you know, sometimes it's kind of fun just to go out with a couple buddies and do your thing.
Yeah.
You know, at your own pace. And, you know, we are not beyond going for a half hour or so and stopping under a really nice shady tree and sitting around for 20 minutes talking about nothing.
No, go, 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 go. Let's keep going.
So,
yeah.
You know, it's kind of whatever you get out of it. But, hey, you know, the one thing you said about Axial Fest that I would like to say, I heard the same thing, that at Axial Fest, essentially, you had to have an Axial vehicle. That was the point of it. Mm-hmm. But I will tell you from experience in being there my one individual time, I saw plenty of handcrafted and or different manufacturers' vehicles out enjoying themselves, having a great time with everyone else. So
really, okay,
if you're not going to Axial Fest because you don't think you have the right vehicle, oh, please don't do that. That would be a terrible, terrible mistake.
Because I think the main objective, I guess, is pretty much just to have everyone go out there and have fun. And
yeah, I think it started out that way. To be honest with you, I think when they first started doing it, I think it was built around, you know, let's celebrate our company and our cars. And that is what it's all about. But this, you know, Brian Parker, I mean, you know, that guy's a huge, that guy's like a insane superstar monster. In building up, you know, G6 and this whole lifestyle, this whole image and this whole thing. I mean, I really, my hat goes off to him because he and I do a lot of the same things in that way. And I really appreciate when I see somebody do it with so much class and so well. I mean, I really like the guy. He's a great guy. And I met him for the first time at Axial Fest. I never liked him before that. But, you know, even though he picked me up, that was weird. But I told everybody, too, I go, that guy, no matter what, he's not picking me up. I'm not a baby. And, like, 5 minutes later, I'm in this guy's arms. And I'm like, dude, what are you doing? Why are you holding me? But I think you know, going to Axial Fest this year and talking with Rodney and these guys, you know, these are the guys that, that run Axial and Jeff Johns. Axial Fest has really blossomed into this very family-oriented event. I mean, you go there and there's, you know, 500 people camping, and it's all motorhomes and wives and kids and dogs and everybody there. And, you know, it's this 5 days, it's 4 or 5 days of just pure RC mecca. You know, that's all there is. That's all everyone's doing. You do a lot of it. I mean, you have 1 hour breaks and then you're back at it again for 4 or 5 hours, you know, all the way up till about midnight. I mean, it's intense, but I'll tell you, it's, I've been to a lot of, you know, big name or substantial events in 20 plus years of RC. But I'll tell you right now, I have never been to anything like that event. Nothing was as enjoyable, had as many people that were involved in it, you know, having a good time, such a wide array of people. Yeah, it's fantastic. So definitely, I mean, if that is on, I mean, you know, on all the things you do in RC, you know, that I mean, to me, that is the bucket list. I mean, that just has to be checked off. You just haven't done RC until you've done that. And I'm really glad I did it this last year.
Yeah, it is on my list. Definitely. So my son will be happy to hear that. So he was getting a kick out of the homemade rafts and things that people were
building. Yeah, the rafts are crazy. That's the craziest part. And there was guys that built them that I don't even think they had cars. I think they just built came down there and ferried people all day because that's what they wanted to do. Like that was kind of the atmosphere of it, though, you know? Like, if that's what you're into, dude, you can hang on the shore all day long and drive people back and forth. They'd be nothing but thankful for it. And, you know, it was really fun. One guy had a boat, like an airboat with a big prop on the back.
Oh, wow.
It was so powerful that he barely hit the throttle and it just about threw you to the other side of the shore. It was awesome. We talked about that, maybe trying to build a big, like a big ferry that we could take like 4 or 5 trucks on at one time. But, you know, you got to figure out what you're there for, because that's the one thing about Axial Fest is one is it will test your rig beyond. I mean, I really thought I tested my rig. I mean, I run my rig 8 hours straight. You know, you think, oh, I've tested it. But man, that is an intense, intense few days of running your car, you know, physically on the car. But I mean, you're going for such long periods of time, and the terrain, I guess Parker gets there like a week before and actually walks all through the hills there up in Donner, up in near like Tahoe where this happens. And he lays out 4 different courses that are about 500, I believe they're all 500 gates each, and they're right around 5 miles each. And you run 2 courses each round each time you go. And I mean, they're very demanding. They really take a lot out of you and your driving, you know. I mean, you have places where you have to winch and do all kinds of things. I mean, you go into a pipe that goes underneath a road, and I'm not kidding you, Tim, this pipe is probably 150 yards long, and you're trying to drive your truck from one end all the way other. I mean, if you don't have taillights, you're in big trouble because you're getting about halfway in, you can't see it anymore.
I'm just wiping a single tear away from my my eye. That sounds beautiful.
It was beautiful. It was incredible. I came out of there, you know, ranting and raving about what an incredible event it was. And I mean, it's a competitive event. There are winners, there are classes or whatever you want to call it. But how it works is, because I didn't know this either anyway, so I'll just tell people, because I don't know if anyone knows how it's run. But I actually have a little on the card they give you, your like entry card, it has the breakdown of each day. So on this year's, the way it went was Thursday, they had a driver check-in and then a concourse up in their pavilion. This big like structure, this big open like roofed structure that they have a couple hobby shops set in, and that's where everyone starts off. They have one of those mini, gosh, what do you call those things? The little
the starting gate?
Yeah, like a starting gate thing, you know, in off-road or whatever. So they have one of those, and essentially you have a time like on Saturday. The first stage goes off at this Recon G6 goes off at 8 a.m. And how it works is you just go up there whenever from 8 a.m. on, and you go out whenever, like every 15 minutes they say go and another group takes off. And so you go up there and kind of wait around for your friends or whatever and they go. But what I noticed was the first maybe 2 or 3 groups, these are the guys that are competing. And I mean, these guys are literally, when they say go, their cars take off and they run the whole time after them. Mind you, this is about 8,000 foot elevation. These guys are running after these cars for 5 miles through the hills. It's an incredible thing to see. So what you do, if you're smart, is you step aside the first few groups that go out, and you let these guys go out because they're going to run and go all crazy. And then you fall into the later groups where all the people like me are, where you wander around and you have some fun and, you know, you maybe drink a couple adult beverages while you cruise around through the woods and drive your car. And that's it. And it's a super great time, you know?
Cool. Well, that's a cool breakdown, because I watching the videos, it looks like it's just frantic go, go, go from, you know, from the drop of the flag. But it's nice to know that it's more like a 5K or a marathon. You know, you can pick your group and kind of settle in and...
Yeah, I mean, most of the...
Make of it what you want.
I would say 90% or more of the people there are just there to, you know, be a part of it. They really aren't trying to compete. I mean, I went and I had no intention on competing, nor really do I next year either. I'm just kind of going there for fun. But, like, Saturday's kind of the big day. From 8 till 12 is the G6, and that's that you go through two of the stages. So you go through essentially 10 miles, 1,000 gates, from 2 to 6. So you have 4 hours to do it. So the earlier you go, the more time you have. But it only takes you about 2-3 hours, something like that, it seems, because you're moving along pretty good pace. And then you come in, and then you've got a couple hours from, like, noon till 2 for lunch. But that usually turns into, like, you know, charging packs or mm-hmm. or looking over the car or whatever it is, you know, you got to get done. And you get that done, and then you go back out at 2, and that starts the next trail, the next part. And what you end up doing, because there's four different trails to go on, you'll run, like, say, A and B in the morning, and then you'll run C and D at night, or, you know, they'll switch it around kind of thing. And so you come in and you'll run – well, you come in and you have lunch from, like, 1 to – or noon to 2, and then you go back out at 2 till 8 o'clock for a challenge. And then you come back in, and then you can go back out at 9 till, I think, midnight for, like, a night run. So, I mean, you're going pretty much every hour. You only get about an hour or so in between, you know, on the 2 days that they're running hard. But it's intense, awesome experience. So, like I said, everybody who's listening, put that on your list. I mean, I don't know what you'd have to do to get here. But, you know, if I have to help you get here, let me know, because it's an awesome thing and it shouldn't be missed.
Mikey or Mark, have you either of you guys been to Axelfest before?
Not yet, but we're all planning on going next year. I think there's a group of about, including Tim, at least 6 of us that I know of that are going up.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So,
very nice.
Yeah. It should be fun. And plus, I mean, everybody else you know that goes up there and people from all around the world, you get to meet all kinds of people that are just in love with the hobby as much as you are.
Yeah.
That was a really cool thing, because I got to meet a lot of people on my Facebook that are in other states, you know, or that they're a long ways away that I'd never get a chance to meet. And, you know, they came for Axial Fest. You get to see a lot of people, meet a lot of people. It's really incredible time. Like I said, this campground, I believe, is like a little over 500 spots, campsites, large, and it was full, completely full. I mean, everywhere you went, there was a motorhome. That's what we talk about doing this year, is maybe renting a motorhome. Me being silly and not knowing what I was doing, I drove my truck up there and slept in the back of my truck. So I barely got sleep. I froze to death. But even with that, and I ate beef jerky the entire weekend. Beef jerky and drank beer. That's all. That was the entire weekend for me there. And Doritos on the way up. There it was. So, yeah, I was feeling great by Sunday afternoon. Let's say that. But, I mean, even with that, I'm just not kidding. It was a fantastic, fantastic time, you know. And like I said, I mean, the whole part about the competitive thing, that was kind of the whole point that I missed, was it's not competitive. So, you know, it's this really fun environment with so many people into what you do, you know, you're into, with an incredibly set up course. And it's really well run. It's really well organized. You know, it's a fun event. I mean, my gosh, I don't know how much more I can sell it. They better give me a free ticket next year.
Yeah, definitely. And one for everybody on the show. Hey,
yeah. Hey, that's where I got to see the Yeti for the first time. That's what they did this year. They actually had a easy up setup with walls all around it, all black. And you went inside and they sat you down in a chair And then they uncovered it. It was inside glass, and you could see it, but you couldn't touch it. They took, I don't know how many people they took in there, maybe 15 or 20 different people. They picked.
Didn't they do like a manhunt for the Yeti statuettes out in the forest?
Yeah, yeah. They had, oh, did they get to go in? Maybe that was it. Maybe if you found the Yeti. They had these little cardboard cutout Yetis all over the course throughout the days. And you had to find them, and you marked them down, and you got like extra points in the scorecard. Like you fill a little scorecard like in golf. So if you have 500 gates, you have 500 marks on this thing. You mark each gate you went through, and you'd mark down your own penalty. So it's to be legit, but yeah, it had these Yetis everywhere, and you could find them, and you're supposed to get something. Oh, I guess that's what they got.
They let them
didn't find a Yeti. I just got taken anyways. So,
well, that was my next. You read my mind.
I know. I'm on it. I'm on it right now, man.
Beautiful segue. Beautiful segue.
It took about 15 minutes for me to catch the groove, and I'm in it now, baby.
Wisconsin to California, it takes a little while for
right. There's always a delay.
Brainwaves to move. So, okay, Yeti, what are your initial impressions after you've run the thing? What are your post-run impressions? Is it broken yet?
I got this Yeti from, I don't know if you know who Rodney Wills is. Rodney is the marketing director of Axial. And so he calls me up and he's like, hey, man, let's go have lunch. I'm really close to maybe 10 minutes from them. And so he's like, hey, let's go have lunch. So we go have lunch, and he tells – well, I brought him the car I ran 24 hours. I'd been meaning to bring it to him, and I just hadn't done it. So I looked at it enough here on my shelf, and I thought it's time it went there. They stuck it in their lobby, which is kind of cool. So it's just sitting out there.
Nice.
So if you go to Axial, you can see it. But I give him the car, and he's like, here, I got something for you. And I'm like, sweet. So he gives me this box, and it's – you know how they come in that Axial outer box where you can't see what it is?
Right.
And I'm like, what is it? I'm thinking he just gave me another, poison spider or something to replace the one I was giving him back. And I'm like, cool, what is it? And he spins it around, and right at the very bottom, it's marked Yeti.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and so I was stoked. So I came home and opened it up. And, I'd taken that poison spider out of the box and ran it for 24 hours. And I was super impressed with that car, to be honest with you. I mean, it really survived a beating, But it has a toyish quality to it, It's not, it's a lot of plastic, and it's not really fast, and it's, kind of is what it is. It's kind of an entry-level car in my mind. It is what an RTR in my mind kind of is, right? And so I really didn't expect more out of the Yeti than that. I thought, it's going to be cool. I've already seen it, so I know what it looks like. I know it's kind of different. It kind of reminds me of a frog a little bit. And so I thought, it'll just be the same kind of thing. And boy was I surprised, because it seems like they really took the time to figure out a really serious balance of power in that car. Even on two cells, it's got really good power. I mean, it runs hard. On three cells, it's nearly just insane, but it's controllable at the same time. So, I mean, I really like it like that, but I've taken it. I haven't done any upgrades on it. Like, you see all these guys online, they've all gotten them. And it seems like they want to change everything on it. And I kind of want to run it the way it is. I mean, that's kind of the whole point of it, right? They give it to you to run it. I mean, what's the good in changing it? I can build something else, but I want to run it how they built it. And so it's real fun, because the last few times we've taken it out with us when we go out on trail runs, and there's always a few people that I don't know or whatever, that all of a sudden this car comes out of my truck and we start driving the parking lot. People, well, that we were this weekend, all I can hear is people go, Is that a Yeti? What is that? Freaking out. They can't believe what they're seeing. And that car has a lot of hype going. It's kind of fun like that. But everywhere I take it, I let anybody who wants to drive it. And I'll tell you, every person says the same thing. They're really shocked at how fast it is and how well it performs and corners. There's a big rock hill that we drive at over here. And my Wraith, which is set up to rock race, so it's pretty aggressive Wraith. It's got a lot of upgrades on it. It struggles to get up this hill, and the Yeti drives right up like it's nothing. I mean, it's shocking how well it runs. But that's my point of view, and I'm the guy who got it given him for free. So, take that with however you want to take it. But I know Mikey and Mark have both run it extensively, and so I'll let them tell you their opinions of it.
Sure.
And, go from there.
Yeah, I mean, when I took it off, from the first time I seen it was we're actually playing out on the trail at the Loop, and he pulls it out and hands it to me and goes, here, drive it. And I go, what? And he goes, here, drive it. I'm like, all right. I go, can I beat on it? He goes, drive it like you stole it. And I started driving it, and I went up that rock hill as fast as I could, went up to the top, flipped it on its lid on purpose, and watched it tumble and pinned it right out of the gate to see how durable it was. And I did that for probably, I don't know, 10, 15 minutes straight.
This hill's probably, what, 35, 40 feet high?
Yeah, straight rock mountain. And
okay.
It's
substantial.
It did not break. And I tried to break it.
Yeah.
And
yeah, I came tumbling down the hill probably 20, 30 times.
Yeah,
we beat. I mean, you go to my Facebook page and see some videos of it back in there. But I mean, yeah, we beat the poop out of that thing. The only thing that's really broken on it, and I don't know if you want to call this broken, was I had the there's a pin that holds the front drive shaft coupling in, and that came unscrewed and fell out. So, you know, I should have Loctited it and glued everything in and checked them all, but I didn't. Now, we did go out last weekend, I think it was, the weekend before that, and we were doing some recording for some Max Amps Minute videos, and we took the Yeti out there, and I was doing some really big jumps, like bicycle motocross jumps, and blew a gear out of the servo, which wasn't really to be expected, because when I opened it up, it was all steel gears except for one, and guess which gear broke? So I went in and pulled the servo out and just put in a servo of mine, and I shouldn't have that problem anymore. So I mean, there's the short list, honestly, of parts that have broken on it. Right? Is there anything else that's broken? No, nothing else is broken on it. I mean, nothing's physically broken. And I'll tell you, we've tumbled that thing, you know, wheel onto wheel, 25 times down hills. I mean, I'll be honest with you. I don't think I own another RC car that I purposely beat on like we have that one and survived. I mean, there's just no way. I mean, it's really an impressive RC car for an RTR. I mean, the kit will be mind blowing. I mean, if they build a kit, you know, because the kit has all metal stuff on it, it'll be mind blowing. I mean, I'm hoping, I don't know when it is. There's a U4RC rock race, I think, in a couple of weeks.
It's next weekend.
Next weekend. So I'm going to take it out and actually rock race it. And we're going to see what it does. I mean, still stock. I'm not going to change a thing on it. Not motor, not anything. We're just running it, man, the way she came.
So it's got all plastic links and everything?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
It steers really well. I mean, the linkage and everything is pretty stiff. It's not like on the Poison, I noticed the Poison Spider. You can almost grab both wheels and turn them all the way in. You know, the linkage would just fold up and then spring back. It was, you know, so soft and springy. This one's a little more, maybe they put a little more carbon fiber or graphite rather into the mold, you know, when they shot it, because it seems a little stiffer, everything. So I like it like that. And I mean, I'm running, Max Amps has a 6500 three cell pack that fits absolutely perfectly into that car. I mean, it's made for it. And I'm running that. And I mean, the car has incredible power. I mean, just absolutely insane, incredible power.
And it even comes with aluminum shocks.
Yeah, the shock bodies are all aluminum, and I'm sure you guys kind of
nice.
That stuff. I mean, it's a really well made car. I mean, we've dumped it. I got it all muddy driving it around when we were doing the jumps the other day, and so I came home with it and I just took it out of my front yard and took my hose, took off the body and just started spraying it off with my hose, washed all the mud out of it, and shook it around, let it dry, and it was fine.
Wow.
Too. You know, I know that Jerry Elefitz, you can find him on my Facebook. He's the guy who runs U4RC.
Yeah.
I believe you go to his page. He's got some video of them running that thing. I mean, they're running off a waterfall. The whole car goes completely under the water. I mean, it's gone. And then it comes driving out through the rocks like some crazy ocean monster. And just keeps on going, man. I mean, I've never built one of these waterproof cars, so this is kind of a weird thing. It feels so wrong. You're not supposed to put electronics in water. Like, it's wrong as it gets. So, yeah, I haven't been one to run and run it through water that much, but the little I have, it seems to not care.
Now, I'm getting my details a little fuzzy between when that came out and I think ECX launched, or not ECX, Viterra launched some stuff, so I'm getting my technical specs a little crossed up, but what is that running a brushed or brushless? system?
It's a brushless motor. It's a 3300, I think, something like that. I can pull it down from the shelf and look.
Yeah, I'll look right now.
But it's just basically it's basically a Castle, you know, speed control Castle motor style.
Okay.
Just probably rebranded, you know.
3150 kV.
It's a 3150 kV.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's great for three cells. And you know, when they come out with this shiftable transmission, I guess that'll be the next thing to hit the market. That'll be something, because you probably really can't crawl the thing and really can't run the thing, you know?
That'll be nice.
Yeah, it'll be incredible.
That'll be really nice. So, okay, so you've run a Twin Hammers before, you've run a Wraith, you've run the Yeti.
Mm-hmm.
Looking at those three vehicles, I guess, you know, trying to compare the three, putting them on even footing, which, if somebody's just looking to get into a crawler, rock racer, you know, something that can do a little bit of everything,
uh-huh,
what would you push them towards? What would you suggest they look at?
You know, I get that question actually a lot, and I'll tell you the answer. This is kind of a non-committal answer, because in some ways, at the end of the day, in this answer, it has to be, you know, what you want. But the first thing I always tell people is, you know, like, okay, these are the two items you need to focus on. One is 1.9 tires and 2.2 tires. Those are a big deal when you're out on the trail. They make a sizable difference in how well or how easy you can get over one thing or another. 1.9s make it very challenging, but, you know, it's very fun in that sense. You know, the harder it is sometimes, the more fun it is. Do I have to winch this instead? You know, a guy with 2.2s seems like they can drive right over everything.
Right.
So there's kind of that, you know, you kind of have to, and sometimes I kind of judge the person, you know, if it's a really younger child, not child, but a younger kid who's first real experience, then I would tend to want to give them a 2.2 because it's a simpler truck. Then usually what I tell people is go to the Axial website, look at all the vehicles on there that are, you know, the trail stuff. I mean, take the crawler. There's only one crawler, I think, left on that site. Take that one out of the mix. Look at everything. And tell me, what do you think is the coolest? What do you look at that you like, you know, that looks cool to you? Because 90% of the appeal to me in RC cars, and I tell you this, I mean, 90% of the appeal is just that, you know, what are your eyes telling you about that car? If it's ugly and you don't like it, it's never going to be the car you want. So even if it's hard to deal with, but you love how it looks, somehow you overcome it. Guys in RC drag racing used to always come out and they want to run pro stock cars or funny cars, and it's the hardest car to drive. I mean, it's just the hardest. Shorter the wheelbase, the harder it gets. I mean, it's just how it works. And they always wanted to do it when they first came out because it's the car they love. You know, I love real pro stock cars, so I want to run the RC version. And I always tell them, oh, no, run a rail for a season or two. It's, you know, get it figured out. And no. And they always go that way because you go with what your heart wants. So in the RC thing, I just figure, in the trail thing, I just figure, you know, pick the tire as far as the ability goes, because you can always put 2.2s on a honcho. You know, there's no rule saying you can't do that. You can always, you know, fill the wheels with lead so the thing just sticks to everything. I mean, we trail with guys that have been trailing for years that must have 7 pounds of lead in their cars. I mean, they're ridiculous, you know? So, I mean, you know, there's no real, because it's not racing, not competitive, that's why I always come back to, you know, what looks cool to you? What do you like? Do you like a truck? You know, do you like a Jeep? Do you want to put people in it? Do you want to put, you know, a sleeping bag on it and a, you know, an extra tire, and you want to have headlights? I mean, what do you want out of this thing? You know, what are you looking for? And then it becomes pretty easy to pick a car at that point. There's my take on it. But going back to those three cars that we talked about, they're hard to compare because they're really different in so many ways. I really like the Twin Hammers, how it performs and how it acts. It's kind of a lower center of gravity car. It's a little smaller. You can be a little rougher with it and run the car harder. But it's a terrible car to work on. You know, it's absolutely horrible. I love the Yeti and the Wraith is, you know, as far as 2.2 cars go, I think it's a really cool car. You can certainly make it look scale, you know, do some fun scale stuff with it. But I'm telling you, I'm a huge lover of the Yeti right now. I think it overpowers all my other cars.
Wow.
So, I mean, they're expensive, and they're stuck in some container somewhere in the middle of the Pacific, I think. But I'm telling you, if you're some guy asked me, he said, you know, I'm thinking about buying whatever car this was, you know, like a Wraith or whatever. I'm like, you know what? Save an extra $100 and buy an Act, or, you know, save it up and buy the Eddie. I think you'll be happier in the long run.
What's the Yeti retailing for?
I think it's $425.
I think it's $429.
Okay. Yeah,
$429. Okay.
So okay. I mean, you figure Poison Spider's right there at the same price as that.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
For a ready.
Really? Okay.
The Spicer. Yeah, they're right at $400.
Okay. And I'll tell you, you know, they put those tires on that thing. The same tires that they have on the Poison Spider. And to look at them, to feel them, they're really hard. They don't seem impressive, but I'll tell you what, you know, those things. What tire is that?
That's the stock BFG crawler tire.
It's kind of hard. You know, it's a little plasticky or whatever. But man, I don't know what it is about that tire. I ran the 24-hour car and it rocked, and they came stock on the Yeti and they rocked. So I don't know. The guys at Team Ot6 Tires. I think contacted me the other day to send me these tires. I believe I saw set out at the last Q4 race, and from what I could tell, for like a 2.2 tire, these were really incredible looking tires. So
yeah, they've actually released the photos of them now.
Yeah, if you're looking for some 2.2 tires, man, I would hit up this Ot6 Racing. They look like they're making some pretty cool stuff. I'm supposed to get a set here in probably a few days, and I'll either report back to you, or we'll get a report up to everybody on how they are.
Yeah, and I'll definitely put a link in the show notes to the site. I don't believe I've heard of them.
Yeah, they seem kind of new.
Yet. Okay.
Yeah, I think they're only making the 2.2 tire, but I'm almost positive I saw a set on a certain driver's car. I won't even give him away out at the U4 race. I think he was just testing them for him. And I walked by. I mean, how often do you walk by and look at a set of tires and stop and go, oh, what are those? And they were really impressive looking. They looked right. They looked proportionate. They looked like they would work. Like sometimes you just have to look at a tire, you know, and you just feel like that's the one that's supposed to work. So we'll see.
It's their first tire for like the U4 industry. They've been known for a while in the comp crawler rigs, like the MOA rigs and stuff like that. So, I mean, they've been around for a while in those.
See, that's why I brought other people, because they know all the answers and I don't.
Yeah. It's always good to have backup. Always good.
That's right.
Backup.
That's right. Otherwise, you just get stuck with my lies. And then you don't even know what happened. No, I know. Tim said that. I heard it. Yeah, it doesn't matter. It was a lie.
It's on the internet. It's true.
Well, it's not a lie if I believe I'm telling the truth. So.
Well, that's right.
I'm just dim-witted. How's that?
Well, let's see. We talked about Axelfest. We talked about the Yeti. Two things I kind of hate you for a little bit.
Yeah. If you're closer, man, you'd be in your head right now.
Yeah, I know. Just, you know, I just reach out and grab it. Yeah, I was, so for Axelfest, you went, Mike Baker went. I've been friends with a bunch of other people that were there, and it's like, you guys all suck.
Yeah,
you know. Well, sorry, I was living vicariously through Facebook for a while.
I did it kind of on the cuff. I mean, I left here Friday at like noon or one or something. Like, we didn't get me, and I went and picked up Brian Jones for you crawler guys. I picked him up, and we drove up together, and we didn't even get there until like 11:30, 12. It's like 8.5 hours from my house. We drove all the way up there. We ran our cars all day Saturday, and then Sunday morning we left. So, I mean, we just came in and went. Next year we're going up, you know, like on Monday or Tuesday of that week and stay the whole week and really enjoy ourselves, have a good time.
Sure.
And do something besides sleep in the back of my truck. You know, I figured out why all those people ate each other up at Donner Pass at about 3 a.m. when I was sleeping in the back of my truck. Made perfect sense.
And they weren't in the back of trucks either. Had a little buffer.
Yeah. Well, I don't know, though. I just had a covered wagon. I was out in it. Yeah. Although I did have an air mattress, and I know they did not have that.
And you had beef jerky and beer.
I did. I did. I had
you
beef
win.
Jerky, beer, and a lot of Doritos.
A lot of Doritos. There you go. You should hit them up for sponsorship.
Doritos? Oh,
okay. Yeah.
I better hit up Jenny Craig right after it, too.
Whatever you have to do.
Hey, if I got any sponsor, it would be an ice cream sponsor. Oh, my gosh. Nothing in life would be grander than having an ice cream sponsor. That'd be fantastic. It'd be super fantastic. Hey, you know what I was thinking of the other day? I got one for you. I was thinking this. I think I actually posted this. Was, for some reason, I was thinking, you know, if I was sitting in my garage, like, right now, and there was a guy just like me on the other side of the earth, and we were both holding a piece of bread, and we both dropped it at the same time, the earth would be a sandwich for that, like, second. See?
That's true.
Yeah. So there you got that. So the only thing we didn't talk about was we didn't talk about speedrun cars.
Yeah, well, that's right. You did that. You did a little bit of that, too.
Yeah, we did very little of that. Now,
too busy.
I think it should be duly noted, and you can edit this out if you want, that I did bring this topic up when I could have conveniently let it go by. But, you know, we have to all deal with our troubles in life. So
you're facing, you know, facing your fears and
yeah,
all that other stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. So things didn't go too well.
No, it didn't go good. And you know, we'll cut to the chase. We tried some things. And I, to be honest with you, I don't know what happened. The car just started moving off the track about maybe 1,000 feet before the timing trap.
Less than that,
maybe. Yeah. It just started turning to the right, and I couldn't bring it back. It was like I had no steering at all. The car just took off, but it went off the track. It dug its nose in. It flew around. It hit Mikey in the foot. It hit his foot so bad. Dude, I mean, his foot was, oh, it was so black and blue and disgusting the next day. It was unbelievable. It was unbelievable how hard it hit his foot. It tore, he has a pair of leather etnies, and it tore the shoe in half when it hit his foot. That's how hard it hit it. It ripped the sock, it just tore it, it shredded the sock right off his foot. So it was just naked. It was incredible.
Yeah, it was
and little does anyone know, when that happened, I jumped down off the ladder in the back of my truck and dislocated my hip.
So I'm
trying to get in my truck, get down to him. I can barely move and walk. I think I'm going to throw up because I'm going to pass out. I'm trying to get down. It couldn't have gone as wrong as it did. Like, it just went as wrong as it could go. So it was a horrible, horrible day. But we did manage to get out of there, and we did go and have barbecue because that's tradition, even in pain and everything else. And so the fallout of that is that I came out of that deciding that I need to – I've always kind of built my cars off dragsters that already exist to some extent. And so I finally decided, you know, it's time just to really try to build – whatever my mind wants to build for this car and what do I think I need. And so I've come up with an entirely new design. It moves the motor to the middle of the car, uses belts and some other stuff. Well, not really other stuff, just belts. But it allows me to have a huge ability to adjust weight in the car, something I didn't have in the other cars. Essentially, all the weight just went in the nose of the car. I mean, that's just how the cars were built. All the electronics were in the back. All the weight was in the front. I mean, they're drag cars. And that works, but it seems like once you get to about 150 or so, I don't know what happens, to be honest with you. I'm not sure what's going on, but the cars just become completely unmanageable. And they may just start creating so much downforce in the nose with the weight that they're just breaking the front kingpins off of the wheel. I really don't know at this point. So I've kind of abandoned that. So I'm going and building my own brand new car. It'll be most likely it'll just be a two-wheel. Well, not most likely. It's going to be two-wheel drive. I'm sticking with that. I mean, four-wheel drive is easier, but I think you lose too much power in the whole power scheme of it. So I'm sticking with two-wheel drive, and I'm changing the front end from dual, you know, like dragster front end to a single enclosed wheel, kind of like that green and silver car I've taken some photos of.
Sure, okay.
I built that car, that single wheel car, back in the late 90s, early 2000s, I guess. I mean, I had this idea for this car a long, long time ago. And it has a lot of huge advantages as far as how the car steers. I mean, it's not so much the car goes straighter, which it kind of does, but the deal is when you're steering the car at that speed, any tilt in the chassis tends to unload one of the two wheels in the rear, and then that causes all kinds of problems, obviously, when you're trying to accelerate as hard as I am. And with a single wheel, it sort of just repositions the nose and never really puts any tilt or lean into the chassis. So I've always liked that style. I just never built a car with it because it's kind of complex in the front, but it's going to allow me to have more suspension and some other things. So I don't know when I want to get back out to run, to be honest with you. It's going to be the thing of building this car. But, as you know, and everybody knows, I'm pretty open. I put everything on Facebook. I don't hide much. So, it'll be on there. And as we build it, it'll be on there. I'm starting on some bodies right now. Actually, I'm starting on a mold and starting to work on some bodies. And, I would like to think that within a couple of months, I might be looking at making a run. But, that's the hopeful side. We'll see how it goes. Now it is, whenever you're building something, there's always some issue. So,
yeah. Yeah. Well, good. Best of luck with that.
Thanks.
New, new design and new build. And
yeah. 200 miles an hour might be getting away from me at this point. We'll see. I know that, my competitor has run 196, I think, if not faster. And so it's an any day kind of thing. So I knew when we left the track that day that if I decided to go down the path of if I abandoned what I'd been working on because I just didn't have any more belief in it, that, chances were I was going to lose that ability to get to 200 first. And so I just kind of had to accept that and thought, am I in this for the long haul? Am I just in this just to go really fast, or is 200, really all there is to it, in me? And I thought, no, I really just want to go fast. So I want to build the car that I think will be really cool, regardless of whether it goes fast or not. I think this is a car I want to build. And so, sure. Why not? Why not do it? If it happens, it happens. If it doesn't, it doesn't. I mean, that's kind of been the scheme all along with these cars. I mean, you can't plan on anything for sure. It takes a long time and a lot of runs to get, especially get to the point where Nick is at right now. I mean, this is a guy that's been running. He's been trying to go 200 miles an hour for probably 9 years, 8 or 9 years, I think. So, rightfully, if anyone gets it, it should be him. But, if I have a chance to get to it first, I'm certainly going to try. I'm certainly not going to wait around for him to have it, that's for sure. But taking on a new car, I don't know how that's going to go, because I know even once I have the car in my hands, it's going to be a longer testing process. You know, there's going to be many trips going out running 90, 100 miles an hour, just trying to get everything to work right. So,
yeah, I've got a friend I went to high school with. We're friends on Facebook, and posted the last two times Nick has upped his speed ante. He's posted links on my wall, and it's like
I get a lot of
Tim doesn't see this. But I know you guys have history, and
Yeah.
Good, bad, or indifferent, but I've got to just tip my hat to
absolutely.
Both of you guys for going at it. And,
of the few people on this planet, I only know maybe really one other guy that knows what this takes. And, not just what it takes build-wise, but what it takes mentally. I mean, don't think that, when you think about driving, you think, well, you're only up there for a few seconds. But, man, it's every day all the time. It doesn't stop. You're always – you're trying to do something that nobody has done and nobody can do. I mean, people have tried and you just fail miserably. So absolutely. I mean, yeah, I have more than tip in my hat. I mean, you have to bow to a guy that can run these kinds of speeds, and he's certainly got his car now, or this new car that he's running. Since he left Associated, he built his own car and he certainly got what he wanted out of it, because this car has been the most consistent, fastest RC car ever. I mean, he's probably got 20 or 30 runs, 170 and above. I mean, that's an incredible feat. So, wow. he's got it figured out. Only being 4 miles an hour off, I think he can squeeze enough power to get there. If he was a little more, I might wonder, because I know he's really close to the top of his power at this point. I mean, we're all running the same power. So, I know where he's at with it, and he's really close to the edge of it. But the only thing I am going for me is he lives way out here in California by me. And he uses a runway or a taxiway, it looks like, that's in, I believe, Utah or something like that. But it's a big deal when he goes there. So it takes a few months before he can, you know, he can't just go back out next week and run. So I'm fairly certain he'll do it next time he goes out. And I would probably gather it's going to be in the next, you know, month or two, depending on weather and whatever else comes up. So, you know, I expect to see that video really soon. But like I said, again, you know, if he leaves the door cracked open, I'm not too proud to sneak in it really quickly when he ain't looking. So
nothing wrong with that.
Oh, absolutely. And you know, somebody wants to run 225 with me, I'll give it a shot too. So I would like to think in some ways that our ill relationship spurred him to get to this point, because I know it spurred me in some ways to keep going when I didn't want to. You know, having competition is fun. I love being competitive with people. And so, I hope that is the case, because it, you know, he's done a lot. He's done a lot to this point. So we never really talk about that. And he may think whatever he thinks about me or thinks I think of him. But, you know, the truth of that whole matter is that, yeah, he's done some incredible things. He's the one who got me back into the speedrun racing in the first place. So he has no one to blame but himself. I'm sure he rules the day that he invited me out. Oh, what was I thinking? I hate that guy. So, I mean, whatever, you know, like I said, I would love to get it, but you know, if anyone's going to get it rightfully, that's the person that should get it. That's the person that should go 200 first, you know, but it's a cool feather to have. Absolutely. Someone's going to do it, and it's going to happen soon. You know, people are getting closer, although I guess realistically, probably just he and I are the only ones that are close, and he much closer than I. So I don't know anyone else is even in the ballgame.
Well, I should warn you, Tim, that my oldest son wants to build a speed car.
There you go.
Some of your YouTube videos.
There you go.
To which my response was the biggest facepalm ever.
Yeah, that's the worst thing to do. You want to burn up some money fast? Woo! Oh. Try to go fast. I mean, it only costs money.
Yeah.
That's all. And the faster you go, the more it costs. Yeah.
Those videos that he watched of yours prompted so many more questions.
Yeah, you should bring him on the. You should bring him on the show.
He's away at Grandma and Grandpa's today, but he definitely wants to chat with you because he's got a ton of questions.
Yeah, right on. That'll be super fun. You know, that you saw the pictures of the batteries that were all bent up and caught fire and all that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a little over $300 worth of LiPo cells.
Huh.
Yeah, they just go bye-bye. The motor is another $250 or so. The speed control is about the same, $250, $300. The chassis, you know, I mean, these are just numbers if you were going to put it together, not the time to lay up a carbon fiber body or those things. Like there's big money. And I mean, I understand why people don't do it. Cause it's people get into it. They try it two or three times. They burn up a couple speed controls and go, that's enough of that. Yeah. But going fast is addictive. You know, once you get a taste of it, it's hard not to want to go back.
That is true. That is true. Well, the cool, you know, fun thing about the hobby is there's, you know, something for the fast people. There's something for the folks that like to slow things down. And Tim, you like a little bit of everything. And Mikey and Mark, sounds like you guys like a little bit of everything too. So there's something to find for almost anybody.
There certainly is. When I started doing crawling or trail stuff, I know people, it was funny to hear people like, what? You go so fast. Like it seemed out of their minds that someone who goes really tries to go faster than everybody else wants to go slowest as anyone else, I guess, or whatever. But I mean, it's not, you know, the speed is its own addiction and its own challenges and all those things. And that's really fun. But trailing and you know, that's something I think, you know, there's a lot of people that hit me up that are, you know, off-road racers or whatever that think of trailing as like crawling, like the old days, you know, or whatever that old day was with, you know, some guys, all these guys gather up in a barn in their suspenders and overalls and drive their really weird looking bug looking RC cars over rocks, you know, through the barn, and that's it. And that's not all what trailing is. Trailing is just, I mean, it's almost like, I guess it's like hiking in a sense, because we tend to go out, at least out here in California, we tend to find riverbeds and those kinds of things and, you know, drive, see if you can get your car from one end to the other. You know, that's kind of what it's all about. See if you can get there.
Yeah.
you know, as raw and open as it is, or cut a trail and make it look cool, whatever you want to do. But trailing is, it's just a different thing. It's not competitive, but it's challenging, you know, for sure. I mean, to get your car to last, to get yourself to last. I mean, it's hot. Like out here, it's 100 degrees and you're tromping around for, you know, 3 hours after your car in the sun. And, you know, it's something, but it's a good time with a lot of people. And I think I mentioned this last time. I'm always blown away at how many older guys I see out doing it, you know, because I think it's guys that maybe were competitive racers and maybe weren't at all and just want to do some RC, but aren't, you know, they're not, this is a perfect thing. They get together with their buddies on a Saturday or Sunday and spend a couple hours in the morning and off they go, you know?
Yeah. So we're hitting about an hour mark.
Yeah, we're right on time, baby.
Yeah, wow. And my English just went out the window. At which point I have
time,
to.
It was all over it. I wrapped it up right on there, right in the number. Like a pro.
Dude, I owe you some money, I think. That's very well done. Very well done. So, Tim, I'm sure everybody that has listened to the show before knows how to check out your stuff, but if you're new to the show,
you can
go ahead and brag about yourself.
Find me on Facebook at Tim Smith Racing. You can find me at Tim Smith on Facebook. I have a fan page and like a regular, you know, like I guess you call it personal page, the Tim Smith Racing page, but it's really my racing page. I don't put a lot of personal up there other than my haircuts and things like that. But I try to keep stuff up there all the time. You see what we're doing, you see where we're going. You can always contact me through there. You can also go to my website, timsmithracing.com. You can find me on Instagram. You can find me on Twitter. You can find me on Google. Just put in Tim Smith Racing. You can find me. You can find Mikey on Facebook, too. Like we said, Mark, he hates the internet. He hates everybody that's on the internet. So he doesn't participate whatsoever. Hey, you know what I do want to mention real quick?
Sure.
And this will probably come out just about the right time is I have a new sponsor called the Toys RC. They're a hobby shop. They're an awesome hobby shop, by the way. I mean, customer service-wise,
yes,
I seem to have the best. The people that support me seem to be the best customer service places around, because coming home today, I got a message from somebody who had to deal with Dan at Max Amps. He's like, I just wanted to tell you that guy was so awesome and helped me out, and I didn't know what he did for him, but this guy took the time to message me to tell me how great his experience was with Dan at Max Amps. So, you know, I'm just really fortunate in that way. But RJ at the Toys, he has this awesome hobby shop, online hobby shop. He sells stuff on eBay and all that. And he's given me all kinds of cool little scale stuff, license plates, propane tanks, sleeping bags, and all these kinds of little, you know, cool scale items. And so I'm going to have a contest, and you guys can totally help me with the contest. The contest I want to do is like this. I'll have so much of this stuff that I think anyone who enters the contest correctly will win. So the contest is this. You have to take three photos. Maybe two, but right now, until we sort it out, it'll be three photos. And I'm going to give you specific instructions on each photo and specifically where each photo has to be posted. One has to be on my Tim Smith Racing page, one has to be on my Tim Smith page, and one has to be on the Toys RC page. I'm going to put all this up on my Facebook, so you'll totally get it there. But
okay,
one of the photos, I want to have the person who owns the car take a picture of themselves wearing their car as a hat. Their favorite car. That's the first picture. Okay? So get your cameras ready, get your pictures taken, because I'm going to give several days for this contest too. And so I'm going to take, if 25 people all do it right, I'm going to send 25 people grab bags full of cool stuff. So that's all I'm telling you. I don't know what you're going to get, but you're getting a bunch of cool stuff. And that's, I mean, free stuff is always awesome in my book. So the first picture is you have to take a picture of your favorite RC car as a hat. You have to wear it as a hat. I'll give you special bonus points if you can get anyone over the age of 18 to do it for you, because kids under 18, that doesn't work, because you can make your kids do it. But over 18, good luck. Because if you can get your wife to hold a car on her head like a hat and let you take a picture of it, you're a better man than me. So there's that. So extra bonus points. So any ideas? Anybody give me an idea for the next picture? What would be another cool RC picture? Because I have a third one. So if you guys have it, I'll give you guys a minute to think about another one. I want you guys to give me an idea. My next picture is that you're required to take is a picture of you driving your RC car with you, your radio, and your car all in one picture. so I can see you driving. I know you're driving. Don't just stand there and not be driving it and take a picture. I want to see some dirt, or I want to see something happening so I know you're driving that car. But I want to see you, your smiley face, your radio, and your car. So that's picture two. So picture one is you with your favorite car as your hat. And picture two is you, your radio, and your car in motion, doing it. Doing it out there somewhere. That's the two pictures. So what are your guys' suggestions for the third picture? Anyone? Dead air. Come on, guys.
That's so hard. Yeah. I don't know how you can top a hat.
Well, yeah. You have to wear the whole car as a hat, right? Not just the body?
Yeah, the whole car. Not
the whole,
just the body.
Car. Okay.
Not just the body. Got to be the whole car. I want to see the car because I want to see what kind of car you got. And I want to see your face. And everybody wants to, so... So, yeah.
This goes for any car, right? Not just a necessarily a crawler. It goes for any
car.
No,
any RC car. And the thing is, like, my wife was like, oh, we'll have him take a picture, you know, in front of at Target. And I'm like, well, but the thing is I have some people that are in different places that may not have a Target. So, it's got to be something that anyone can do. And I figure anyone can wear it as a hat.
Here we go. Pull the car up to the gas pump at a gas station.
Take a picture of your car in front of a gas pump at a gas station. How's that?
There's gas stations.
There you go.
Like it? Are you down with that?
Nice.
That's good. Okay. Yeah. So we have wear your hat, wear your car as your hat. Take a picture of yourself wearing your car as your hat. Take a picture of your car, your radio, and you all doing something at the same time.
It's impossible, dude.
and then the last picture is, what's the last picture of? Wear your, what?
Mark's wearing your truck as a hat right now.
Have your car at a gas pump. Your car in front of a gas pump. See, we should make him have to pump gas. Act like you're, yeah.
Act like you're
in front of a gas pump, but you have to act like you're pumping gas in it. There
that
it is.
That could be a little dangerous, though.
Yeah.
Yeah? Okay, just at a gas station? Just in front of any gas station, even if it's out in front of the gas station. I don't care.
In the rocks or anything.
Yeah, even
whatever.
If you're, yeah, in the rocks. Yeah, it'd be even cool. I'll give you bonus points if you're actually driving it, like, in the parkway in front of it, you know, like in the rocks. I'll totally throw in bonus stuff. So anybody does this, that's how it's going to work. So those are the three pictures, and I'll post up where you got to put those three pictures. And if you do it right, you're going to get a bunch of stuff in the mail. I promise you that you're going to get a bunch of stuff in the mail. Thanks to the Toys RC, RJ at the Toys RC. So that's the contest. We're going to do it this week. And actually, I'll probably put it up. When are you going to have this up? Right, tomorrow or next day?
I probably won't be able to edit until this weekend.
Saturday.
So yeah, next week, early next weekend.
Thursday, isn't it?
Early next week, yeah.
Okay, so then we'll start the contest on Monday, and we'll go all the way through the week. How's that? You think you can have it up by Monday?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, because I just don't want anyone to hear this late and feel like, oh, how come I didn't hear it in time, you know? So I'll do
in 10 years, when somebody downloads this, they're going to be disappointed.
Well, if they don't listen till the very end, they'll be disappointed. Well, I mean, I'll put it on my Facebook, but yeah, if you do it on Monday, I'll set up the contest and we'll go on Monday, and it'll be fun.
Sure.
Three pictures.
Very awesome.
Yeah. So why not do some contests?
Yeah.
Man, I like giving stuff away. I get stuff all the time, and I don't need it. I mean, I don't really need it, and people are so generous to give me cool stuff, so, you know.
This is going to be interesting. I can't wait to see some of this stuff.
We already have our first candidate right here. They're in here taking pictures of cars on their heads. But it doesn't count because they're taking pictures of my cars on their heads.
There you go.
My cars don't count. Although the Yeti is your favorite car, so that does work. If you take a picture of the Yeti on your head, no matter whose it is, that's your favorite
Photoshopping.
Car. Yeah, no Photoshopping.
No Photoshopping. Okay.
On your head. I feel really bad for anybody who's a fan of mine that drives only quarter scale cars. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, God.
I didn't take that into account, did I? Okay, if you have a quarter scale car, just the body will work. So that's it. So that's my contest.
All right, very cool.
All right?
Very, very cool. All right, well, thank you, Tim, as always, for joining me. And thanks to Mikey and Mark, you guys.
Hey, no problem.
Really nice to meet you.
Hey, you too.
Anytime you're hanging out with Tim and we're doing a show, you're more than welcome to join in.
Thank you.
So with that, thanks again for listening to the RC Noob Podcast.